Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I was reflecting on what I spoke about yesterday. I was reflecting on the fact that how easy it is for us as human beings to only see the concrete, to only see the reality of something and not necessarily the gift behind the gift. In other words, when God answers a prayer of mine, when he does something that I've hoped for a long time and I see the fruit of it, does that draw me closer to him, or do I just say, oh good, God answered my prayer, like it's a transaction that's done, when actually what God is doing is drawing me into deeper intimacy with him. What he's saying to me is, I have heard your prayer. Come draw near to me, that our relationship may deepen and that I may be able to use you for the salvation of others. That's what God's saying. And he can do it through the smallest things. They may be very important to us. And he answers prayers, and you say, well, yeah, that's good, but, you know, it's not worth a party or something like that. Every way in which God answers your prayer, stop. Say thank you. The tiniest things and the biggest things and everything in between. Allow God to draw you by his goodness to you, by his kindness, by his mercy, by just simply hearing your prayer. Let all of that, don't just say thank you and then be done with it. Allow that to draw you deeper and deeper into Christ, because that's his goal. His plan is not just to do good things for you, though he loves to do that because he loves you, but it is to draw you into intimacy with him. Don't miss that. Today, we take a look at the book of Acts again, this time chapter 7, beginning with verse 51 through the first verse of chapter 8. So 7, 51 to 8, 1. Stephen. So we're back now to Stephen. And they've uttered blasphemy against him. They've uttered false oaths against him. And Stephen is... He's deeply offended because he is proclaiming the word of God. Remember, they said that even his face was filled with light. They could see there was something very different. And yet, they all got into their squabblings and fightings, and they felt that Stephen had, in a certain way, bested them in an argument, and they didn't like that. So their pride was raised pretty high. And when our pride is up, brothers and sisters, we can do grievous things without even seeing it. We're just so proud that that makes us deaf and blind. And we end up fighting the very people who can bring us closer to God himself. Sometimes the very people who can lead us to the answers that we've sought all our lives. But our pride gets in the way. Take a look at that in your life. When do you do that? Because we all do it, one time or another. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always oppose the Holy Spirit. You are just like your ancestors. Ancestors who wouldn't believe the prophets, ancestors who went their own way, even though God did miracles in their midst. They'd still fall back on their deafness and their blindness and think that they were seeing clearly and hearing clearly, and they weren't. How many times does pride deafen us and blind us? Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They put to death those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law as transmitted by angels. You realized that the law had come from the goodness of God, but you did not observe it. When they heard this, now he's really speaking to them. They don't like it. When they heard this, they were infuriated, and they ground their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So he is actually having a vision of heaven. God is very near him. And he says, behold, look, behold. But what do? They cried out in a loud voice. They covered their ears and rushed upon him together. Brothers and sisters, pride can deafen us and blind us. And we have an actual concrete example. There are many in Scripture, but this is one of them, the death of Stephen. Here he is proclaiming the goodness of God, but he's telling them about their blindness and deafness, and their pride will not accept it. They choose their pride over truth. And how many times in life do we do that? We choose our pride over truth. They threw him out of the city, and they began to stone him. They say he's blasphemous, but it's because they've deafened their ears and blinded their eyes by their pride so they can't see and hear the truth. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, look at this, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's just stop there before the last verse. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep, he died. They stoned him to death. It's a terrible death. They stoned him to death. And as he's dying, he's asking God to forgive them. Now, I want you also to notice that it tells us in a verse that I just read, the witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. So Saul was listening. Saul was there. He was complicit with the deed because he watched over their cloaks while the stoning went on. He didn't stone them, but he participated. I heard a priest say not long ago that has stayed in my mind all the time. He said, pray for ISIS. Pray for all those multitudes of radical groupings in the Middle East. Pray, because he said, out of them may rise another Paul. Out of them may rise another Paul. Look at Saul before he was converted. Look at him. He was an enemy of the Christians. He consented to their stoning. He imprisoned them. He participated in the deaths of them. And yet when God spoke to him, he was radically and completely changed. We ought to pray, brothers and sisters. As much as we fear and as much as we detest their practices, nevertheless, brothers and sisters, out of them could come another Saul who became Paul. I want to encourage you to get eyes to see beyond the immediate circumstances. I'm not saying we shouldn't oppose ISIS and all of them. Of course we should. But at the same time, pray, because there may well be the heart of at least one man in there who could rise up as Paul did. Never give up hope, brothers and sisters. Never give up hope. Psalm 31, into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Be a rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. My trust is in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad of your mercy. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness. Hide me. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Stephen had the faith that enabled him to do that. Saul, as the last verse of today's gospel said, Saul was consenting to his execution. Saul, on one level, participated in the death of Stephen. And yet God reached out to him, and Paul responded, look at the mercy, brothers and sisters. Look at the mercy of God towards Saul, a murderer, a hater of Christians. But God reached out to him. And still, it was Paul's free choice. He could stay where he was, or he could accept Jesus. Jesus knocked him down, literally. Knocked him down. He was blinded. And instead of allowing his anger to take over, instead of doing that, he yielded. Our pride and our anger can get us into deep, deep trouble, brothers and sisters. Ask God for the grace to renounce it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, the crowd said to Jesus, what sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so they said to Jesus, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. It's the Eucharist, brothers and sisters. He gives us of his body and his blood. Whoever comes to me in the Eucharist, feeds on me, draws life from me, will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. Brothers and sisters, that is a remarkable set of promises. God's love is lavish. God's love is eternal. The grace is flowing from the prayers we've prayed and the answered prayers. The grace is flowing from that for all eternity. Please don't live life, yes, I go to church on Sunday, and then you live the other 6 days as though you had no faith at all or very little. Don't separate Sunday from the rest of the week in the sense that, yes, we set aside Sunday as a day particularly of worship of God and honoring of God. But at the same time, please, brothers and sisters, don't separate Sunday from the rest of the week. Every thought, word, and action either gives praise and glory to God, or it's indifferent to God, or it's blasphemous. You don't want to be anywhere except in a place of giving honor and glory and thanksgiving for all that God has given you, is giving you, will give you. And if you can't see it, then ask for faith. And you will see. You truly will see. May God abundantly lead you and bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.